In this 11th chapter of Hebrews, in the 8th verse, I want to read just part of this verse. By faith, not by education, not by conscience, not by political upheaval, but by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Now we're all surrounded every day of our life by good and bad examples of what people call spiritual life. But our best mortal example is Abraham, this Old Testament patriarch. Paul wrote about him in Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's all he did. Everybody talks about Abraham doing this, that, and the other, about how he fooled Pharaoh and lied about his wife, and he did this, and he did that, and he did the other. But the only thing that matters about Abraham is that when God called him, he obeyed. His faith moved him to obey God in all things and in all situations. Abraham was moved in many directions, and he was tempted in many ways, but he obeyed God. And like Abraham, Christians have many trials, and they bear many burdens, but their primary objective in life is to obey God. Not just be moral people. We got a world full of so-called moral people. Not just by being religious. We got a world full of religion of all different kinds. Not just the daily struggles that we all are under, but to obey God. That's our mission. That's our goal. That's our objective. I want to bring you a message this morning, if the Lord will help me, that I have titled, An Example of Faith and Obedience. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Obeyed. Three or four things I want us to see from that statement. First of all, We who are believers mourn our disobedience. I know I do, and I think you do too. But we find joy in submitting to God. Happiness for believers is to bow to the Master's command. It's to do what the Master wants you to do. I've always had dogs of one kind or another, and I used to have a black Labrador, and his delight was to do whatever I wanted him to do. He just was the sweetest dog and the best dog I ever owned, and he just wanted to do what his master wanted him to do. The deepest desire for true believers is to yield themselves to God. The older I get, the more I want to do that. The more I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to do what God wants me to do. My greatest ambition is to be obedient to our master. The world's full of people trying to make more money, trying to get bigger cars and bigger houses, more success, and their name in the paper. I'm telling you that the Christian's greatest objective in life is to obey God. There's no truth in supposition. We preach an obedience of faith, that people of faith ought to obey God. Faith is the fountain and the foundation of true obedience. You know, humans never obey God, never, until they're brought to believe. Now, people sometimes do things that are in accord with God's will just because it's in their flesh and society pushes them that way or their parents push them away. But I'm telling you, when God changes your heart and he brings you to believe, he will make you want to obey him. We preach faith that people may be brought to obey. I need faith. And you need faith. Why do we need faith? To make troubles go away? Absolutely not. To make our problems go away? Absolutely not. We need faith in order to obey God. To disbelieve God is to practice disobedience at its very worst. And I run across people all the time that don't believe God. They don't believe his book. They don't believe his son. They don't believe his church. They say, well, I believe this. Just the other day, I had a conversation with a man, and he said, well, I'll tell you what I believe, preacher. I believe this. And I said, well, you can believe anything you want to. He said, I can't believe you said that. I said, what? That I can believe what I want to. I said, you can believe what you want to, but God will hold you accountable for it. If you have faith and you say you do, then you ought to obey God. And you ought to obey what God says and not what you want him to say. That's one of the first indicators of practical obedience is God changes your mind. One of the basic things that happens in regeneration for everybody is they learn to take sides with God against themselves. A changed understanding, a changed heart will obey God. You read the life of Abraham, and when he was a young man, when God first called him, he obeyed God. He left. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know when he was going to get there. But he walked in rebellion. He did what was comfortable for Abraham. He did what was convenient for Abraham. The amazing story of Abraham is the longer he lived and the more he experienced, the more he learned about God, the more he trusted God, the more he obeyed God. We trust Christ. We trust his word. We trust his works. And we obey them. The work of God is rooted in believing Christ, whom he sent. That's what made Christ different. It wasn't that he could do miracles. It wasn't that he could make people walk and talk and hear and believe. It was that he obeyed God. We must never give obedience a secondary place in our life. Never. There used to be a family, the man and woman were here some months ago. They came to a service. They used to live down at Broadhead, and they had three children. And I told people they were the most obedient group of children I've ever seen in my life. They delighted to do what their parents wanted them to do, and they're still that way. I've never seen anything like that. It's not normal for children. Children have carnal natures like their parents have carnal natures. They delight to do what they want to do. The submission of the heart to obey God is evidence that God's changed the heart. Perfect salvation will lead to the attainment of perfect obedience. God will work on you. He will. If you've been a believer for many years, you ought to be different than you were when you first were a believer. We regard obedience as the grand design for which the Savior died. He didn't die just to take us to heaven. He could have taken us to heaven without that, without doing anything. Titus 2:14 says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purifying himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." That's what Christ did. We're chosen to obey. We were chosen into complete holiness. I say that to people sometimes. They think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. God aims for you to be holy. I know you're not. I know I'm not. But God will make me holy, and God will make you holy if you're a believer. Obedience is the grand object of the work of grace in all his saints. He changes them. This obedience comes from a faith that's of a nobler sort. Through the years, I've had a lot of experience with people lying to their children. They do. They lie to their children all the time about this, that, and the other, traditions and stories and myths and stuff. And I tell folks, you shouldn't do that. It doesn't make me popular with people. You shouldn't do that. Why not? Because one of these days, your children are going to get older, and they're going to find out you've been lying to them all these years, and they're going to wonder, if they told me anything that's the truth? The obedience of a slave is only slightly higher than that of a dog. That old dog I had, he'd do whatever I told him to do. Every once in a while, he'd do some things he wanted to do. They weren't what I wanted him to do, and we'd have to have a correction. A slave is a little smarter than a dog. On the outside, he'll learn to obey the master and avoid the punishment, but his heart might be as corrupt as it can be and rotten as it can be. Fleshly obedience is tuned to the crack of a whip. Children today don't know what that means. Children used to be disciplined. They were made to behave, at least on the outside. You couldn't change the heart, but you could change the direction. You could change the steps. And my mama wore out a lot of switches trying to straighten Sandy out. But obedience is rejected if it's not free. There's an old saying, I don't know how it got started, said something about if you love something, turn it loose. If it didn't come back to you, hunt it down and kill it. That's not the way obedience works. Obedience that comes from faith springs from an internal principle. It's not from compulsion. You know, some people do things, just you don't wonder why they do it. Everybody's got their quirks. Y'all've got them, I've got them. Some of you folks are quirks about cleanliness. I can assure you, your pastor is not. I looked at my office this morning and I thought, looks pretty good in here. Looks like a junkyard. Hearts that have been awakened. Reason that I must obey the Savior. I must. The love of Christ constrains us to willingly obey. My master says to me, obey. He said to Abraham, obey. obedience is blissful. But a child who loves their parents, to obey their parents, makes both of them happy. And for the child of God to obey God, it makes them happy. Will we serve our Lord day and night, looking at Jesus' face? He's my master. He's my good shepherd. I want him to smile. I want him to be happy. I want him to rejoice in me as his child. If you're a believer, I challenge you to commit yourself to obey God. The obedience of the Father's child, it's not slavish fear. My parents made me mine with slavish fear. They did. My dad and mother were totally different, but they both had that thing about them. We children were supposed to be like slaves. We were supposed to do what we were told, no questions asked, no objections raised, just do what you're told. God wants his people to obey him because they love him and because he loved them. Our obedience is the obedience of a loving child, one who has no fear and no dread. When I was a young believer, older Christians had me scared to death to meet God. They did. I was scared to death to die. While I die, they're going to put up a movie screen. They're going to put up everything I ever thought or ever did, and everybody's going to know about it. It's going to embarrass me and embarrass God, and no telling what he'll do. I'm telling you, that's a lie. It isn't going to happen. Your sins, if you're a believer, are forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're God's child. Every case where we render true obedience is the product of faith. Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. He obeyed. Free grace is the road to obedience. It receives Christ's work by faith, rejoices in it, and responds in obedience. The Lord teaches us to obey. It just naturally flows out of faith. When we obey him, when we believe in him, we rest. We rest in him. And that produces obedience in us. Here's the second thing. Faith in God results in a right to command obedience. If God's given you faith, he has a right to command you to obey. Sometime in one of my rebellious moments, I'd say to my mother or my dad, I don't know why in the world you tell me that. Doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to do what I want to do. My mama had a strong way to correct that. But God says to his children, obey. Obey. Our God is a holy sovereign, and his will is our law. I live in the United States of America. I am responsible for the laws of this country, as long as they don't contradict God's laws. And when God speaks, he means for you to obey. He deserves to have our unswerving service. We should serve him. Now listen, I'm no different than you are. I have to sit down and pay bills, and I have to take care of the responsibilities of my house and the things that I do and take care of my son and this, that, and the other. But I do those in obedience to my Father. I obey Him. The Lord Jesus Christ has a right to our obedience that must not be questioned. I don't know why God asks me to do some things and why He tells me to do some things. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time when I preach, I don't know why in the world does He want me to preach that. But I learned to obey. Because I love Him. And He loves me. Our glorious God has an unquestioned right to our every breath. They're His. They're His. We must never presume to believe that the holy God is like us. Most of the religious world thinks God is just a big, giant, powerful being who tells us what to do and that we ought to do that just because of who and what He is. We must never question His sovereign right to decree what He pleases. He came to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees, and Abraham was as big a heathen as there ever was. He was of that idolatrous clan, and God came to him and spoke to him and said, Abraham, leave your family, leave your home, leave your possessions. And go where I tell you to go. And the marvel is that Abraham obeyed. He obeyed. We gladly pay him honor and we constantly desire to do his will in all things. When I played basketball, I learned real quickly that whatever the coach wanted me to do, that's what I was supposed to do. And I didn't like it all. I'll tell you right now. The coach said, you run up and down those bleachers 100 times. I didn't even like the first time, much less the 100th time. You run those laps. You do this, that, and the other. You shoot that basketball with the correct hand and off the correct foot. I didn't want to do that. It didn't fit my way of thinking. But I found out there was a penalty for disobedience, and I decided that obedience was better. The obedience of the inner person can be no less than a perfect life. God's given me that. He's given you that, maybe. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Then we must have faith in God's call on us to obey. We must believe this book. Everybody's abandoned the Bible. They've got a new version of it in English, German, or Pig Latin. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't make sense. And everybody wants to just follow something that's comfortable and easy for them. Listen to me. God gives us His word. Abraham abandoned his family because he believed that God had spoken to him. Genesis 12:1 says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I'll show thee. Now it's one thing for God to tell us to go somewhere and expect us to go. But he told Abraham to go somewhere and leave everything he had. He said, and you don't know where you're going. And I won't tell you till you get there. And the miraculous consequences of that commandment is that Abraham obeyed. He was not concerned with God's warnings to the Chaldeans. He said, I'm going to destroy you. He wasn't concerned with the Lord's special command that was sent to his very own soul. He said, walk. He walked. I tell you, I wish we were as earnest to render personal obedience to God as Abraham was. He obeyed. It is easy to offer unto God other people's obedience. I'll tell you something about preachers. They love to get you to do God's work that He's called them to do. That's easy. And it's easy for parents to tell their children, now you do this, that, or the other, because I'm the parent, and you do it. That's okay. If what you're telling them to do is right, and in submission to God. But I tell you, lots of times it's not. And you need to take a different look at it. It's many people think they're serving God when they're being critical of others. Religious people are critical. They are. They're always critical of somebody. This, that, or the other. Now listen to me. There's things I'm critical of. But I'm critical of them because God's critical of them. I don't like this happy, slappy, gay mentality we have in our world today. It's contrary to the Scripture. It can't be right. We can readily see other people's shortcomings, but we must learn to see our own. We must turn the magnifying glass of God's Word onto our own hearts, and we'll see our iniquity. I read two chapters of the Bible every day, and then I read three devotionals. And through one of those five medias every day, I see some sin identified, and it's easy for me to see that in somebody and say, boy, they shouldn't have done that. They ought not have done that. But more often than not, the Spirit of God says to me, you shouldn't have done that. It's not our job to weed other people's gardens. But we need to keep our own vineyards in good repair. We who are His chosen people must be called out from mankind. We're different. If nobody else hears God's call, our ears must hear it. Abraham, when he was called to go out, obeyed. The strongest ties of gratitude hold us in the service of the Lord Jesus. Who is there that we are more grateful to than the Lord Christ? Who has done for us what He has done? We've all had people do things for us. Some of you have had parents, spouses, other folks that were just so kind to you, and you appreciate that, and you should, and you ought to show your appreciation. But I'll tell you what, there's nobody ever done for you what Christ done for you, if you're a believer. Nobody. Our service to God is true freedom. We must yield to His will in all things. We must attend to our personal obligations and set our houses in order. When God saved me in 1967, one of the greatest changes took place in my relationship with my wife and my children. I suddenly no longer wanted them to obey me because I was me. I wanted them to obey God because He was God. And then one other thing here, obedience arises out of a faith. That's the paramount principle of action for believers. A royal kind of faith produces obedience as a Lord of understanding. True believers rest in God beyond their belief in anything else. Now listen to me, I'm not the most brilliant cookie that ever came out of the factory, and there's a whole lot of things going on in our world I don't understand, and I don't have an explanation for. But I'll tell you one thing, my God does. And I rest in Him. I love our country. I love our president. I love our governor. I love our county judge. But I don't trust any of them. But I love God and I trust Him completely. Paul said in Romans 3:4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You see, faith in God becomes the golden crown of all our believing. Everything we believe is because of what God has done. You know, heaven's above the earth. The eternal is above the carnal. And God's above all others. We must have faith in God or His rule will never be your goal. The only kind of faith that reigns is that that makes us subject to His power. Men have tried to force that on people. You read the stories of the Nazis in Germany. The more you read about it, the more it'll scare you to death. They just got folks to do what they wanted them to do. Not what God wanted them to do, what they wanted to do. Believers pray for God's will to be done, however, in their hearts and in their lives. I find myself, as I get older, I don't pray as long as I used to, but I pray a lot more often. And I find myself quite often bowing my head and saying, oh God, I don't know how to do this. I know it's Your will. I believe it's Your will. I don't know how. Show me. Give me strength. You see, God's will ought to be your will. God's pleasure ought to be your pleasure. We need God to give us a faith that controls us. We must have faith in God's right to rule. His right to rule. He's sovereign. He's a king. And we need faith in our personal obligation to obey Him. In this faith, we realize the object of our election. Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's why He chose us, that we might be holy. We must ask, do we have that faith that obeys God? Faith that makes us obey is the marker of the children of peace. Better to have faith. Better obey God as a servant than to rule an empire. I told Ernie Fletcher one time when he was governor of Kentucky, I said, I want to know one thing. Why in the world would you take such a demotion? He looked at me funny. He said, what are you talking about? I said, God called you to pastor a church and you gave up pastoring a church to be the governor of Kentucky. That's quite a demotion as far as I'm concerned. He didn't say anything. But we must remember this text. By faith, Abraham obeyed. It's only by faith that you and I can obey God. If we have faith in God, then we ought to obey and keep on obeying. You see, obeying on the earth teaches us to obey Him in heaven. That's why people have problems. That's why people have trials. That's why people have troubles. I sat with my wife for 69 days, held her hand, and watched her die. And I was amazed. She got stronger every day, and I got weaker. But God was working on both of us. He was preparing her to leave this world and preparing me to stay here for a while. Practiced obedience prepares us to sing God's glory forever. I'd like to hear the old girl singing right now. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Abraham was the father of the faithful. He set a good example for us to follow. Obedience to God fills our hearts and our souls with joy. It's joyous to obey God. He's a king, sovereign king. And he commands his people to obey him from their hearts. May God teach you that lesson. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Amen.